Let us turn in our Bibles to the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. We're closing out the 10th chapter, the last two verses of our study in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Then we'll let you go home. It's been a gracious day today. The Lord's with us. I don't know. I just praise Him for His grace. Grace to believe Him. Grace to trust Him. Grace to know Him. The 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I missed being here last Sunday night, but down in Picayune we had a gracious time together. We preached, I believe, a little over an hour down there last Sunday night, and we had a gracious time in the Lord. Well, being the last, we'll be through the 10th chapter tonight. I think you'll do as well to let's read from the first verse. Come on, the first. Read through it. Then we'll take up the last two verses and kind of recall some of the things that we've heard as we went along from the beginning of this chapter. Moreover, brethren, I would that ye should not be, that ye should be, let me get over again. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, for our present example. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. That's a wonderful thought there. The apostle speaking here, as if I'm speaking to you tonight, with a mixed group, mixed audience, some saved, some not saved. And there may be some of you who may never get saved. I don't know. The Lord knows. But he is speaking as a whole now to the general assembly there. He said, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, those who have been taught in the Lord. those who know the wisdom that is from above. I speak as to wise men. Judge now ye what I say. You judge it. Now let's go on. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread, that means one loaf, one body, and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold Israel after the flesh. Are not they which eat of the sacrifice partakers of the altar? What say I then? Now what is the Apostle Paul saying? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, that's talking about the heathens, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Now you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. In other words, you cannot partake of the Lord's Supper, of the body and the broken body, the symbols we have, and drink of the wine, which is the symbol of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet go into those heathen temples and eat the meat sacrificed to idols and be a partaker with them and have fellowship with them and commune with them. You cannot be a partaker of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Now, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy, or are we stronger than He? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Now let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whosoever is sold, or whatsoever is sold in the shambles or in the marketplace, that eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Go in there and buy what you need and bring it home and cook it, eat it. It belongs to the Lord. If any of them that believe not, now this is something else, bid you to a feast and ye be disposed to go, or you will to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. But if any man say unto you, now, what you're eating is offered was offered in sacrifice unto idols, then he tells us not to eat it. Don't you eat it. Not for his sake. Eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. There's so many other things that you can eat. Now, conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. And we had that little study that last week, or the week before last. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? And I gave a little illustration of that last week in Picayune, along that line, that we have to be careful, every one of us, and know how to take care of ourselves and not to do things that will give the enemy an opportunity to say things about you. Though you in your own self, I mean, what you're doing and what you have done, nothing immoral whatsoever, it's just that you have to watch and others and be careful what others might say. Now, I've had that already thrown to my face some time ago. I won't say on what occasion it was, but I've had something that I that happened that morally right and within the teachings of God's Word, but it was misunderstood by others, and I said, never again. Never again. And I've had to be careful now, especially since I'm in the ministry. It's just not to give an opportunity, like the apostle said. Don't let your good be evil spoken of. Now, what you might have done was good. I had good intentions, and it was good in the sight of God, and it's taught in the Word of God. But I'm thinking about the conscience of others. They do not fully understand those things, and so we give no one an opportunity to say things or to think things, and you'd be surprised how people watch you, and when. I've got it from the lips of somebody, but my good was evil spoken of by self-righteous individuals who profess to know the Lord, and yet they could not see that it was according to God's word and the good intentions that were there. And so I said to myself now, well, if that being the case, then I just have to be careful. I just have to be very careful in the things that I do and what I do. Now, the Apostle Paul said, let me repeat this again, that 29th verse, conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judge of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense. And I used that statement last week. Give none occasion, none offense to the gainsayer, to that individual who is critical, or may yet a weakened conscience. Don't give any offense in any wise, in any way. And so I've learned that by the study of God's Word, by the help of the Holy Spirit, is to refrain from things that will offend others. And I'm thinking about their conscience. I know everything's all right with me and my own conscience, my own mind. But I'm thinking about that individual who has a weak conscience, or that professed individual who's looking to criticize me. And like they did our late pastor. And every one of us as believers, we all have to be careful. We give no opportunity to the devil. And giving one another a holy kiss and things like that. But that other individual is looking, you've got people looking who will criticize you and become critical. And then maybe that weakened conscience there. And so I said, thank you very much, but... otherwise, I told her, I said, my hugging days are over as far as that. I only have my wife, and I hug her, and we love one another, and give all my affections unto her. And so, but it's that other individual has that critical eye, and I had one person tell me that. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have embraced a so-and-so like you did, and there was good intentions there. And I looked at that individual, I said, where in the world were your thoughts? You had evil thoughts, and mine were clean and good, with good intentions. So you see what I mean? You see what the Apostle Paul is speaking of here? Do not let your good be evil spoken of. And I'm telling you, you gotta be careful. Let's do that. Give none offense. Look at that 32nd verse. Give none offense. Eat neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Give none offense. Now, did that clear up a little things to you I was talking about? It kind of cleared up the situation, what the apostle is saying here. Now, let's look at that 32nd verse a little further. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. In other words, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Because there are three great classes, you might say, of people here in this world that are looking upon you and I. Three great classes. And what are they? Well, there's the Jews, and there's the Gentiles, and the Church of God. Give none offense. Now, the apostle does not mean that we are not to offend anyone. That's impossible to offend people, especially when you're preaching the gospel. People are going to become offended at the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the cross. Give none offense. It is impossible to keep from offending somebody. You offend people here who are not willing to repent, are not willing to come clean, come clear before God, who are not willing to leave off their sins and their practice of sin. So it is impossible. In Galatians 5:11, the apostle tells us, "And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution?" When we preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, someone is offended. Someone gets offended. And if you turn to 1 Peter with us, let's read. Turn over there in our Bibles to 1 Peter. All right, 1 Peter, the second chapter, the 6th through the 8th. "Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling," listen to this, "and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." Let me tell you something, believer. Live for the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will offend those who do not want to live for Him. Your life, living for Him, will offend others. Just live. You don't have to say a thing in the world. Just live for Christ and see if it does not offend others. Others will become offended. You don't have to go around babbling off and trying to prove that you're saved and buttonhole everybody. Just live for Christ. God will give you the opportunity to preach or teach or witness. Live for Him and see if it doesn't offend others. You don't want it to. You don't like it to. But it just simply, that's the way it is. That's what the gospel does. It becomes a stumbling block. Christ. A rock of offense. For a Christian to take his or her stand against sin, it is impossible to keep from offending somebody, whether it's in your home or in the classrooms or at your job, or no matter where it may be, it is impossible. Just take your stand against sin and against the world. The meaning of the word offense here has the meaning as to give no occasion to stumble. Now, we are not to allow ourselves anything that could give another occasion to stumble because of our own inconsistency. We can't help it if they stumble over the cross, the preaching of the gospel. But when it comes to our own personal care, that we take care not to cause others to stumble because of our own inconsistency, you see? That's what that means. That's what that word offense means here. Now, the rule of love applies here. Thus, zeal for the glory of God takes the first place, and concern for our neighbors takes the second place. Then he goes on, give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, and nor to the church of God. The church, which had its beginning on the day of Pentecost, after the descent of the Holy Spirit, is the company of people who have been redeemed to God by the precious blood of Christ, His Son. Now, some of these people that were saved, they were Jews. In the beginning, the great majority of them were Jews. And then God began to work in power among the Gentiles. And the two together constituted the church of God, as it is written in Ephesians 3:5, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. Now, it was the Jew first and then the Gentile. And now all who believe form that great and glorious company called the church of God, the church of the redeemed. Now, Paul mentioned Jews and Gentiles not only because the church was made up of these two classes, but in order to show that we owe something to everyone, even to strangers, so that if at all possible, we might gain them. Oh, Paul the Apostle, Paul was out and out for every individual. Everyone. Not in any particular class, but every individual. He said, I've become all things unto all men, that I might win some. Then look at verse 33 of Corinthians 10, 1 Corinthians 10. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Oh, what self-sacrifice. When you think about the Apostle Paul, and you think about all of the great saints of God in the past who gave their bodies to be burned. They were burned at the stake. They were thrown to lions to give a manifestation to the grace of God. And others see those things, influenced by them. Now let us read it. Let's read that 33rd verse like this. Even as I please all men. Now what does the apostle mean by that? Well, or study to do it. Study to please all men. Even as I please all men, or I continually study to please all men in all things, that is, that I lawfully can. He doesn't mean in sin. Go along with them in sin and conform to their sins and to their way of living, their way of life. No, everything that I lawfully can, not seeking mine own profit, but that of many, that they may be saved. So that's the rendering of that scripture there, the 33rd verse. Because Paul is speaking in a general way without making any exceptions. Some people wrongly extend this to cover things which are forbidden and against the Word of God. As if we had every right in the interest of our neighbors to dare to do more than the Lord allows us to do. Paul only accommodated himself to men in connection with things which were quite permissible. Permissible to the, from the Word of God. If a minister seeks to please men in the sense of doing that which every man wants him to do, he would not please God. Do you know that? If I were to try to please you by doing everything that you want me to do, then I'm not pleasing God. I'm not pleasing Him. Paul said, even as I please all men in all things, a preacher of the gospel may press his advice home with boldness and authority. Now listen to this now. Get this. Now this is where you could tell the difference in God-called preachers and those who are not called of the Lord. A preacher may press his advice home with boldness and authority. Now listen to this. When he can enforce it with his own example. And though one of the Apostle Paul was able to say, be followers of me. You follow me as I follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. In other words, let my life be an example unto you. Let it be self-giving, outgoing, self-denying. He is most likely to promote a goodly spirit in others when he can give evidence of it in himself. Paul was not one to say, you do as I say and not as I do. He never did say that. He proposes here his own example as our guide. Now the example which he refers to is that which he had exhibited, or he had manifested as described in this and the preceding chapters. If you kept close attention to these studies we've been having all along in the study in 1 Corinthians, I wonder how many of us have learned anything from these studies, especially if you will go back to the 19th verse of the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Look at the 9th chapter of the 1 Corinthians. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law. That didn't mean that Paul put himself under the law. But he said, I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, I understood them. That I might gain, as gain them that are under the law. He would argue with them along that line and get them to see how God delivered him out from under the law in its power and its guilt. He wouldn't condemn them to hell and everything else, but reason along those lines that he might win them. He'd go into the synagogues and everywhere the gatherings were. He would expound the Old Testament scriptures to them in the right way. And then also in that 22nd verse, to the weak became I as weak. Got down there with the weak individual, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And he didn't say save everybody. He said that I might by all means save some. Now the apostle knew that everyone would not be saved. He knew there would be some. He knew there would be God's elect somewhere. And every time he saw a company, every place he had the opportunity, he would witness with the idea that perhaps and maybe there might be God's elect there. And I can win that individual over to him, you know, by the preaching of the cross, expounding the scriptures, and having his heart and mind and understanding opened by God's Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, he did all things for all men, self-giving, self-sacrificing. Not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many. Go back to the 11th, to the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, that last verse. Listen to it. Not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many. How different from the man who is called upon to perform a duty, an obligation, then may immediately inquire, now what shall I gain by it? The average preacher today called to a church, well, what my salary is going to be? What are all my conditions going to be? My living conditions? And begin to inquire about things like that. Brother, that doesn't go along with Scripture here. The Apostle Paul didn't even think about those things. In fact, he worked for a living. He made tents and sold tents, and that he would not be obligated to anyone, that he may be free from every individual. And he worked, earned his own money, supplied his own need. Because as we studied along, it's not wrong for the preacher to be supported by the church. It is right for the church to support the preacher. Just like the scripture tells us not to muzzle the ox that treadeth the corn. You muzzle the ox that treadeth the corn, after a while that ox is going to be die of starvation. And then the one that you intended to labor for you, to make money for you, you don't have them anymore. And so, but the Apostle Paul, everything he did after God saved him, it was not for his own profit, but for the profit of many. The great object at which the apostle aimed, that is the profit, it was the profit, the salvation of many. Now the term profit may apply in general to anything which improves either the man or his condition. The profit of many. Now it's the preacher's intention or his within his calling is to feed the church of God that they may profit from the word, may grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Feed the church of God. Salvation in Christ, wouldn't you say that it was eminently profitable to be saved? Salvation in Christ means deliverance from the guilt of sin and from the slavery of sin, as Romans the 6th chapter tells us, 12 through the 14th verses. Salvation in Christ is an abiding profit. Oh, when a sinner gets saved, salvation in Christ is an abiding profit. It's lasting. It is eternal. Its weight is worth everything that the preacher or the teacher or the evangelist has put into the preaching of the word, the service that he rendered. Now, the apostle had one thing in mind, one view in mind, for that sinner, that they may be saved. That was the longing of the apostle's heart, that sinners would be saved. If I could find this quickly over here in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. The 4th chapter and the 3rd verse. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Let me read it. I got the wrong reading there, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. That's the 4th chapter and the 3rd verse. Listen to it, of 2 Corinthians. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now listen to the seventh verse. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. But for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Talking about the salvation in Christ. Now the Bible divides all mankind in two classes of people. They are the lost and the saved. The ones that are lost are those who reject the gospel, will not have it, who live only for sin and never come to Christ, will not to come to Christ. Those who are saved are the ones who believe the gospel and are now, not just back yonder, but now they are trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they know Him whom they have believed. My friend, what camp do you now belong to? What camp do you belong to? Are you lost or are you saved? Are you lost or are you saved? Are you trusting Christ as your only hope of eternal salvation? If you're not, my friends, you are lost, and you're in danger of hell's fire. Flee to Christ. Flee to Him. He is the only covering, my friends, for your sins. Now is the accepted time. There is no better time, sinner friend, than right now to come to Christ. There's no better time than now to trust Him, to believe Him, to rest your all in all in Him. There's no better time than right now. Today is the day of salvation. If any man hear my voice, any individual hear my voice, if any individual calls upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Anyone, any of you children, anyone here tonight and out in radio line, now is the accepted time. There's no more convenient time than right now, my friends, to close in with Christ. This is the most opportune time that you'll ever have to close in with Him. Look to Him and trust Him. Believe Him. And all will be well. There is no better time than now to come to Christ. And if you are lost, you may be saved. You may be saved now. And if you turn to Christ, He will save you. He will save you now. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. The emphasis is put on Him. H-I-M. Christ. Only trust Him. You see? Now, salvation is a personal matter, isn't it? It's very personal. And you're to trust Christ. Him. God's only begotten Son. Only begotten Son. He sent into this world to die for sinners like you and I. Every one of us here tonight, we're in that one class. We're sinners. But we're either saved or we're lost. But you can be saved by looking to Christ. and trusting Him. My dear, you can be saved by looking to Christ and trusting Him. Do that. Will you do that? My heart yearns for you tonight to do that. Tonight is to look to Christ. Yearns after you, every one of you. Look to Him and be saved. For He tells us that I am God and beside me there is none other. Will you look to Him? Take Him at His word. Believe His word. Believe His word. He's been nigh every one of us here all day long. He's been nigh your heart. He's been nigh your mouth. And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart, God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Because God gets all the glory. He's glorified in saving a sinner. He's been glorified among us today. I'm just reluctant to let you go. I just long, there's a longing in my heart to see you saved. Oh, my friends, to see you saved, to see you rejoicing in Christ and praising Him, thanking Him for salvation. See that all of your sins are under the blood. Under the blood. And they've all been remitted to Christ. All taken away. As far as the east is from the west, there he's removed them. Never to be remembered against you anymore. Isn't that wonderful? What greater thing than God can do for a sinner? And give him hope of eternal salvation. May God lead you tonight to put your trust in Him, in Christ, the Lord, in the Lord Christ. God help you to do it. Let's stand. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this message tonight, this study from Thy Word. Bless it everywhere it's gone, every home, every mission, every heart. Cleanse us from every sin as we leave this tabernacle. Our Father, be with each and every awakened sinner. Deal with their hearts definitely, positively, our Lord. Oh, this week, there be such a longing in their heart after Thee. And there'll be rejoicing. And like this one who called us from way out yonder, Lord, rejoicing in Christ, shut up with Him, and how precious Thou art unto his heart and her heart. Bless them. We thank You for them. Just continue to be with them and give them the grace to grow day by day in Thy strength, in Thy knowledge, in Thy grace. And Father, we thank You for this day. Thou hast been so good to us today. Thou hast been our covenant-keeping God. Thou art, and always will be. And lead us as we make our way back home. Our Father, protect us. And be with us through the week. That our eyes will be upon Thee to help us in everything. And we'll give Thee all the praise and honor and glory. Awaken sinners, our Lord. Oh, give us such a great number of awakened sinners, thousands, and may there be such a great harvest. Our Father, so many are being saved in our day. For Christ's sake, we ask it, and His name, and for His glory. Amen.